Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Subject matter of improving our relationship to the Holy Name. I want to also warmly welcome the new arrivals, those who have just come today. We have been doing a few very nice, let me say, workshops with a few very amazing techniques which have improved our japa and kirtan. And today we will continue with a very practical session. And then tomorrow we will go a little bit into the areas of advanced chanting. Is very practical, I hope. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
For all those who wish to chant with taste, there is a very important consideration coming up which cannot be ignored for those who are on the spiritual path. It's dealing with our egos. The German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche said, "Everywhere I go, a dog called ego follows me." It's something which Goethe also, he described, it's a black puddle. Puddle means, you know, these who are going to the dog Friseurski, and they have this ridiculous haircuts. He described it like with this analogy. In Krishna consciousness, it's not just a dog or something unpleasant which can look quite impressive. I mean, when you see a puddle, do you know? Poodle, not puddle, a poodle. How do we say in the sweet? Pudlitzer. Pudlitzki and Pudlitzka. No? Man and woman. No? Only one. This is a gross generalization. They look very impressive with their Pudlitzka haircut, you know. And, like Elvis Presley. You know. No? But they bark and are afraid and pass stool in the open. Anyways, no need to go into all these details. They are not different in character from the street dogs which you meet in Belgrade. Character is the same. So the ego can be quite disturbing. And in our scriptures it says that if someone continues to think in terms of I and mine, means in his material identification, our Haridas Thakur says he is worthless like a pile of ashes. Imagine this is a pile of ashes. When you try to put fire into a pile of ashes, the fire extinguishes and the ash does not burn. So in the same way, if you try to put the light of Krishna consciousness into someone who is governed by false ego, not much can be expected in terms of spiritual advancement. The spark will not grow, or will not, it will extinguish after some time. So there is in the Hitopadesh, there is a simple instruction how false ego can be very dangerous for you. But I will tell you another, from another scripture. There was once a man, a sculptor, who did not want to die. Do you know what is a sculptor? Like Rodin was a famous sculptor. How do we say sculptor? Yes.
Keeper.
Fire.
Serbian word is
fire.
Someone from Serbia.
Keeper. Keeper. Also keeper. Yes. German word, if it helps you, is Steinmetz. And he thought, he was the best keeper or Beogold, Steinmetz, sculptor the world had ever seen. So he thought, let me outsmart Yamaraj, the god of death. And he made 7 identical sculptures of himself. They were the same heights, the same eyes, the same schnurrbart, beard, same dress. And when Yamaraj came, the sculptor hid amongst these, what was it, 7 sculptures of himself. It didn't move any longer. So Yamaraj could not see who's the sculptor. There were 8 of them all together, 7 sculptures, and he was there. 8 of them all together. But he knew how to get the sculptor. He knew how to get him by his false ego. Therefore he said, these sculptures are the worst sculpture I have ever seen in my life. This is so low class production that it is embarrassing. So then this was too much for the sculptor. He said, no, I am the best sculptor. And Yamaraj doesn't put garlands around people, he puts a noose around people. Noose? A rope. and he pulled him and took him with him. False ego is a great, great obstacle, but it is especially big in devotees. It's especially problematic in devotees' life and during the practice of Krishna consciousness. Do you sometimes have this in the Balkans, that someone gets entirely on your nerves and then you sit down for your japa and all you think is so-and-so, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. But you think, so-and-so, not Krishna, that person. Have you ever had this happening? Someone gets on your nerves, and then all you think is about the hurt which happened in the relationship, and so on. It is would be easy if you don't identify, at least for the time of your japa, if you could understand, I'm not the body, I'm an eternal part and parcel of Krishna. I know, I hear now from three listeners, very heavy buts, keep the butt a little bit in your pocket and continue to listen to the lecture, please. There was once a Konecha. Konecha? Tortoise. He lived in a lake which was drying out. The water became less and less. Many fishes had died already, and he knew soon he would also die. So and some birds, cranes, these are big birds, saw him, and he understood. They understood. This Konecha, could we say Konecha?
Yes.
It will also die like the other fishes if we don't save it and bring it to a fresh water lake. So they came to the Konecha, to the tortoise, and said, we want to save you. Oh, good, said the tortoise. But I can't... what is your solution? Well, we know of a very nice fresh water lake. It is only 25 kilometers from here. Tortoise. I can't walk so far in the dryness of the air, and I can't fly like you. Yes, said the cranes. We have thought about it, but we can fly. And we suggest a simple solution. We take a stick between us. Here's the bird. Birdie will be on this side, and Fly will be on the other side. They will have a stick, and you just bite in the stick, because you have very strong jaws. And Birdie and me, said the... we two will fly with you, and we will bring you 20 minutes, we will bring you to the freshwater lake. Wow, said the tortoise. Very good idea. Yes, said the two birds. But there is one condition. I do anything, said the tortoise. The condition is, don't speak. If you open your mouth, and we are 2,000 meters over the ground, you will fall. This is an analogical story. It's a way of teaching through stories, which the Hitopadesha said. We are all like that tortoise, the scriptures say, who are in a lake which is slowly drying out. That is our lifetime. And if we are not saved, we will certainly die. Though the two birds are the Diksha Guru and the Shiksha Guru, who give instructions how to reach the kingdom of God. And they tell us certain rules which we have to keep if we want to make the journey successful. If we break these rules, we can fall. I said these two birds are Diksha and Shiksha Guru. I didn't remember it correctly. They are our Guru and the scriptures who preach to us. No? And let us continue to see how the journey went for Mr. Sadaka, or the tortoise. The birds took to flight. They came higher and higher. They passed through the clouds, and they heard from the tortoise. He wanted to speak. The tortoise wanted to say how beautiful the clouds are, but they said, "Buridoba, don't talk." The tortoise immediately understood. Yes, it's better not talk. It was hanging there. And it was difficult to control the tongue, but the tortoise made it. Then the birds came slowly coming. They came down through the clouds again, and they were flying very close to the lake. And the tortoise was seeing the lake. Ooh, felt very good. We are soon landing, and I will be swimming in the crystal clear lake. But then some children saw the tortoise. And one child called out, "See," he called his friends, "this tortoise is most probably the most ugly tortoise we have ever seen." Tortoise took this very personal. "What?" he said. "Oh." The rest is gravitational. We don't want to go into detail. It was a mess. It landed right on a stone and end of the tortoise. This is how Maya will get everyone. She will get us in our sense of identification with our roles. And there will be some hurt. There will be some slander. There will be some misunderstanding. And if we do not react in the service of Krishna, but if we react in the service of our false ego, this will not be good for us. Especially Haridas Thakur in Harinam Chintamani, these are two, you know, he's like our Namacharya. And this is the scripture, this is like two birds, tells us, if one has heard the glories of the transcendental holy name of the Lord, but nevertheless continues in the materialistic concept of life, thinking, "I am this body, dressed in a dhoti, and everything belonging to this ozari, belonging to this body is mine, ahamameti, my rights, my considerations, and does not show respect and love for the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and commits a great offense. If a person continues," says Haridas, "if a person continues to think in terms of I and mine, he's worthless like a pile of ashes, because the chanting of the holy name cannot take place. is. When we chant, this means something very practical. When you sit down to chant, something else will sit down with you, your whole life. And your mind will sit down with you. You are not alone. And especially the ego sits down with you. And the way to renounce all this is to come to the spiritual position where you understand, I'm not the body, I'm a servant of Krishna. Aham taristha vat. When will the time come when I can again be the servant of the servant of the servants and engage my body, my mind and my words totally in the service of Krishna? Prabhupada comments, this means you are thinking of yourself as Gopi Pada Kamala Yo Dasa Das Anudasa. That means as a pure soul, a servant of the associates of the Lord. This is, of course, let us be practical here. You really think you are not the body. You understand yourself as a soul. You deconstruct everything which is there, and you fill the God-shaped hole in your heart with Krishna. There is a philosopher called Richard Rohr who said there is a God-shaped vacuum in our heart. And once I heard a good devotee say, quote him, there is a Krishna-shaped vacuum in the heart, the devotee said. And I took note of that. A very nice point. Yeah. So, in chanting the holy name, when you sit down to chant, it is necessary to think of yourself as a part of Krishna, as a servant of Krishna. Haridas Thakur instructs, we should think that Lord Krishna is our only wealth. All what we have, we should place in Krishna. One should then worship Lord Krishna's feet. One should turn away from material sense gratification. It means also satisfying the ego. And one should chant Lord Krishna's holy name. My dear devotees, I feel very strongly about it because my spiritual master preached to me very strongly at our last meeting. I still remember the exact circumstances. My spiritual master sat on a rocking chair in London. He was very, very thin and he had glasses, on his, very big glasses to protect his eyes from any sharp light. And it was clear for us, us means some 10 German Sankirtan devotees, or was it maybe only 7. It was a very private darshan with very few devotees, and it was clear to us Prabhupada had already one of his feet on the other side. And it was shocking for us. For me personally, because I'm a little bit temperamental, it was so shocking that somehow something happened with my body and I lost my dhoti. It was coming down. And fortunately, I caught it in the last moment. I had to go in the corner of the room. I didn't want to leave the room because I thought maybe the door will close forever, so I better did a quick cosmetic change. I mean, not cosmetic procedure with a dhoti in a state there. And then we sat down, and I remember there was a pause, a long pause. We looked at Srila Prabhupada. And we were very, very moved. I remember someone, I believe Haraka, he cried. I started to sweat and become red. Could not. Prabhupada looked very, it's a difficult word. I believe the English word is solemn. You know. Grave. It was very moved atmosphere. There was a long pause. And finally Prabhupada started to speak. In this very characteristic way he said, so, it was a long so, from here to Alaska, so long. So, have you understood our philosophy? And then he looked at us, and we looked at him. And after some time it became clear to us, he wanted to hear an answer. So, my God brothers tried different things, but I knew I better don't try, because I don't want to say a foolish thing at this time, and I always say foolish things, so better be silent now. Some said, Savadamang papi parijaja. Others said, Yare deko tare kya koho Krishna upadesh. This means, whomever you meet, tell them about Krishna's instruction. And I remember Prabhupada getting alive, you know, he was alive, what I wanted to say, fiery is the word. He said, yes, but what is that Krishna Upadesh? What is these instructions of Krishna? And we had exhausted our ammunition. We didn't know. We had said, but I also thought it was Savadamang Parijaja, our philosophy, you know, give up everything, surrender to me, Krishna, and I will take care of your karma. Don't worry. What is Krishna's instruction? Prabhupada wanted to know. And by that time, you know, when Srila Prabhupada became fiery, he was such, even in this state, he was such a powerful presence in the room. He was filling everything with his transcendental personality. Every corner, every square centimeter was occupied. When we froze, then Prabhupada said, first of all, was very slow because he spoke slowly at that time. And we leaned forward because he was very softly spoken. And then, first of all, you have to understand, we all wanted to hear every word, that life is eternal. He repeated his instruction, which is everywhere in his books. The beginning of Krishna consciousness is to understand, you remember, I'm not the body, I'm the soul. This is what it means, life is eternal. The body is certainly temporary. In the uncertainty of life, there is one certainty, that you have to die. Everything else, we don't know what will develop, but this one is clear. First of all, you have to understand that life is eternal. Because it came as the last instruction to me personally, face to face, I have always tried to remember this, because it was so intense. I've remembered it during my many surgeries, when I was thinking I would die. When it was, I have, those who know me, I'm I have quite a stormy life also. And this is, I guess it comes from my family background, that I have such a karma somehow in this life. But good. I'm here and well and alive and so on. And I feel really it is very strong in spiritual practice to understand this. In the scriptures, Hari Bhakti Vilas, it is said, if a person practices yagyas and homas and japa and does not practice Buddha Shuddhi, which is a conscious practice to understand that you are an eternal soul, all his japa and mantra, it will be fruitless. There will be no, it's like in this Haridas Thakur says, one becomes like a pile of ashes that the fire cannot burn. Buddha Shuddhi means to take away the material illusion that you are a material body and mind and to come to the platform of the soul. This is the prerequisite. Prerequisite. How do we say this? Yeah. Yes, and there is never an agreement in the Balkans on anything, not even words, translations. So it's a mixture between your word and condition. Bali, you understand? Prerequisite? A resume? Prerequisite? No. Please say it loud. What? Say the two words, please, loud. Yeah. For spiritual life? Shubhangi, a resume? Dobro. It's the precondition. I think Govindananda's word sounds a little bit better than your word, Radha Kripa, but I'm not an authority here on language, because I recognize that. It's a you need to come to this. If I want to climb a staircase, korak pakorak, to repeat the, I can't come to the tenth step if I don't have done the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and so on steps. Yes? So in the same way, we need to, Prabhupada says, it is not a theoretical concept. We need to practically understand that we are not the ahamameti, the body and the mind. We need to understand that we are a soul. The meditation goes like this. I am by nature the eternal servant of Krishna. But because of my misfortune, I have turned against him since time immemorial. I have been identifying myself with the body and mind. And I have been continuously wandering in the repeated cycle of birth and death in the material world. And I have suffered the burning threefold miseries. Now, as a result of my unimaginable good fortune, by the mercy of my spiritual master, I know that I am the eternal servant of Krishna, that I am an infinitesimal, means very, very small spiritual being, completely separate from this gross and subtle body. Now I've received an order from my spiritual master to serve his lotus feet and the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Sri. Then you put the names of your deities, Radha Syam Sunda, and I will do this now. And then you chant from that position. We will do a little exercise on this. Please sit tall. It will be a guided exercise in Kirtan. Which you had, and the echo of these conversations, please for a moment leave that aside. Leave aside all the restlessness by just breathing deeply. And whenever you breathe out, imagine you leave your stress, inner tension. We all have seen pictures of the sacred Yamuna. To invoke such a picture, remember beautiful river, sacred river, calm river. You are at the banks of the river Yamuna. the holy land of Krishna. If you cannot think like this, then try to imagine yourself at a very ideal place for you, where you can become peaceful. But if you can see the sacred river, see it enter there and take a bath, it's called in English a dip. Go underwater. When you come up, your material identification is gone. It's a little black like dust that floats down the Jamuna, or your sacred river. Oh, so good to be without the material identification. You only now have your spiritual identity. Yasam Sloga Sakrishnu. I am the servant of Radha Krishna. Let us try to sing from that space, that level, that realization. Again and again, try to just sing without aham and mameti, without I and mine, also not your so-called spiritual I and mine, just a servant, small, happy, joyful servant. Space. That is easy for those of us who come from this area. Leave your head for a moment. Go into the heart space where the soul is and where the Lord is. Always He's there. And sing to Him. Please sing now.
Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.
To tell you a story which will make you laugh and which will make you cry. There was once a very Krishna conscious and also powerful spiritual master. This spiritual master was different from other. His blessings would always come true. So once he went with his disciple who assisted him from one town to another town. And on the way, a terrible, terrible rainstorm came down upon them. This rainstorm transformed into something which was seen in Vrindavan 2 years ago, into a hail storm. And ice blocks as big as a tennis ball were falling down. And you know, when such ice blocks come falling down, it becomes very dangerous. You can be killed when they come from a high, from high. So the Guru Maharaj and his disciple, they were just passing through a valley, and they saw a rock which was shaped like this. The Guru Maharaj said, "Let's go to this rock for shelter." But it was more or less shaped like a, how do you call this shape?
Pyramid,
yes, like a cone, I think we say. Kegel, you know, like this. A shelter? come. This was the old man, says he came. And when the rock saw the disciple, the guru and the disciple, it bent over like this and provided shelter. You follow? So they spent the entire night there in the shelter of the rock, and soon it started to stop, hailing, and it started to rain again. It was cold, but they were in shelter. So in the morning, the guru said to the rock, "I'm so satisfied for the shelter you provided us with through the night, that I want to bless you to become a human being. And you can walk." You know, some rocks have a soul, no? "I will bless you that you become a human being." But the rock answered, "Oh, please don't do this. Then my heart will become so hard." He's a rock. But he was serving. He was bending over. So when he was offered the blessing, "You can become a human being," he said, "Oh, please." "Then my heart, Mois Ritze, will become like a rock, so hard." He was thinking, the rock must have been thinking of, the heart is not hard, it is soft. But what's inside is hard, the ego. So in spiritual life, such stories are told to make us understand, at least when we are spiritual practice, when we do spiritual practice, then we should disidentify. I will now address the devotees who had three strong buts in the audience. When we act in this world, we sometimes need hardness. We need to correct the wrong. But a devotee, we should always do that from a spiritual position of being the servant. And I think it is done by our devotees. I'm not having in mind I'm just saying. But when you come to chanting, remember to forget all this ego. And the best way to do that is when you just concentrate on the divine sound vibration of the holy name. Let the holy name be like a river which comes into your heart, and use your mind to enter into this river of the holy name. And you can start, and this was the practice of yesterday, by doing this with the first Hari. Who has experimented during the japa with the first Hari? No. Most of you. Thank you, thank you. That is at least 5%. In previous years it would be 0%. Good is when you hear something which works for you, that you practice this immediately. And then, you know, when you want to chant properly, you must know you will have to work against the old chanting habits, which are very strong. But there is something. When you work against resistance, your strength increases. Like when you do physical exercises and you have to work in the push-up department, you have to work against resistance, then the strength works. Look at Bali Sadacha, our ninja master who has the last dan in India. He can fight with the elements now. Yes, it's highly accomplished. Or use the elements. We are always protected, even in World War III. Bali just makes like, and all the bombs go, if he wants. How to come to this state platform? You have to work against resistance. If you want to have mental strength, you have to work against the unhealthy material desires. And if you want to have spiritual strength, you must work against the unhealthy obstacles in your spiritual practice. It requires a little discipline, but by entering the lift of the holy name or the boat of the holy name, by just staying with the holy name, many things can happen. And I saw yesterday in some of the kirtans how you were able to chant and feeling some Krishna conscious relief. I could see yesterday. I was in the kirtan of our Ananta Gauranga, and even and I felt so much remembrance of Vrindavan Dham, and so good. Little, even I can be sometimes Krishna conscious. Very good. By the power of the holy name. So, I want to thank you all very much. Tomorrow, Saturday, I think there's another workshop like this. I will give you a summary so that you can take 5 things home with you. If you want to take your note, bring your notebooks, that is good. Then you can write down these practices, practice with them at home, and become Cheshti Bhaktas, good devotees. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna.